Blog Talk Radio.
Saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you had a wonderful Lord's Day yesterday. I certainly did. We had a great time at Grace Church. We had a celebration afterwards for Pastor Harry Tuchert and Shirley Shannon and Deanne Hart and Bob Borsch as we celebrated these four amazing, wonderful gifts from God, these wonderful seniors. And then afterwards, we had a board meeting. So we had a full day yesterday, and glad to be with you here in studio today as we break bread, as we give out today's manna from heaven. We're finalizing our series entitled God's Lifetime Warranty. God's Lifetime Warranty. What is a lifetime? Well, the duration of one's life, or what is other words called life expectancy or lifespan. And what is a warranty? Well, a warranty is another word for guarantee, promise, or assurance. God is giving you and I a lifetime assurance, a lifetime promise, a lifetime guarantee that what is he assuring us? Well, text tells us. So let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Joshua 1, 5. And here is the four-part promise. Here's the four-part promise. First, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before these all the days of thy life. No one will be able to do us harm. Why? Because God promises that. Part of the text says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. In other words, God has a track record of coming through. He did it for Moses, and not just for Moses. He did it for people like Noah. He did it for people like the prophet Samuel. He did it for people like Rebecca and Rachel and Leah and also Sarah, great women of the Bible. He did it for Deborah and Miriam, the two prophetesses of the Old Testament. He did it for Aaron. And he's done it for King David and Solomon. So God has a track record of taking care of people from the cradle to the grave. So that's the second portion. The third portion is, I will not fail thee. The fourth portion is, I will not forsake thee. So again, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I have proven it to Moses, so shall I prove it to you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this precious promise, for this lifetime warranty, that as you were with the saints of old, so shall you be with the saints of new. Us, your people, the New Testament church, New Testament believers. Holy Spirit, have your way with today's lesson. Encourage us, build up our faith, strengthen us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and guide us to all truth, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. We left off the other day talking about how God promises that he will not fail thee. He won't fail you. Now, the word failure here, if you recall, has to do with projects or assignments. Anytime you have an assignment to do for the Lord, anytime you have a project to do for God, anytime you are engaged in doing those things that God would have us Christians do, know that you are not bound to fail. You are bound to succeed. And the reason why you succeed is because God is with you. I preached a little bit on this yesterday when I was preaching the sermon on Caleb. Turn to Joshua 14. In Joshua 14, verse 12, which was my principal text, this Caleb speaking to Joshua, he says, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day so long ago. For you heard that in that day, way back then, there were Anakins, giants, in that mountain. How that mountain was infested with giants, and how these giants had great cities and greatly fortified. If so be the Lord with me, notice what he says, if God is with me at age 85, then I will certainly drive them out. Our success is hitched. It's connected to the fact that God is with me. If God is with me, I cannot fail in my assignment, Caleb said. I will drive out these giants who are behind these walled cities, who are well fortified and at a great advantage, because not only are they taller than I am, but their cities give them an advantage of height. So I'm smaller than them, and I'm at a lower disadvantage. But if God be with me, that'll tip the balance of power, and I will be able to drive them out, which is my assignment. I will not fail at it. So God says to Joshua, I will not fail thee. And he says that to us. Whatever you're called to do, God will give you great success. Great success. In fact, it was the evangelist D.L. Moody who once said, if God is your partner, make big plans. You cannot fail. It is impossible for you and I to fail if God is with us. So he promises he will not fail us. Now, today we're looking at that portion which says, I will not forsake thee. This speaks about God parting ways, or God divorcing himself from us, which speaks of a complete departure. a complete departure. And here we read it. We read it here in Joshua 1:5. It says, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That word forsake in English is a Hebrew verb, azab, which means to separate from another person, to abandon completely, to leave for good, to leave in a destitute condition, to provide no further care or assistance. God promises not to forsake us all the days of our life. It is impossible for God to walk away from his children. He is our Father. He will not do it, will not depart from you or from me. Now, there are times that God temporarily departs. Let me explain. In the life of Samson, after being called of God to be a judge in Israel, supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit, Samson in due course became a serial fornicator. He began to engage in sexual relationships with women without being under contract of marriage. That was one sin. But then he heightened that sin, or he doubled that sin, by not only engaging in sexual intimacy with women he was not married to, but also in that these women were of foreign nations. Samson became spiritually and physically unequally yoked. So there came a day when Samson went to fight the Philistines, and he had discovered that God had departed from him. Thus, the Philistines took him, they grabbed him, they arrested him, they neutralized him, and they took out his eyes, and they did unthinkable things to him. And then there came a day that Samson prayed and said, oh, God, if you will strengthen me this one time. And so the Lord answered that prayer, empowered him, and in his death, Samson killed more Philistines than in his life. Now, in the text, you'll read that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Samson, and he knew it not. Well, that speaks to a disciplinary departure. In other words, in order for God to give us course correction, he temporarily removes his empowering hand from our lives, hands us over to what we have been engaged in, sin. So we handed him over to the uncircumcised, sinful Philistines. The Philistines were the instrument that God used to discipline Samson. And after Samson's life received the court correction that it needed, he cried out to God, and God appeared or manifested himself on behalf of Samson. But God never departed completely from Samson. It's what we call disciplinary departure. God withdraws so that we can find ourselves by ourselves, and so that we can learn that our success in life was only due to our obedience to God. And since we have disobeyed him so many times, he needs to withdraw so that we can be spanked and disciplined. For the book of Revelation says, Jesus says this to the church of Laodicea, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So that's an example of disciplinary departure, when God withdraws his hand of blessing from our life, everything falls apart, just so that we can come to our senses and run back to God, because we, in essence, had departed from him. And so God uses those instances to bring us back to him. And once the relationship is reestablished on our part, after repentance and prayer, then God again blesses us and allows us to accomplish our life assignment. So that's an example there of Samson. But God never forsakes his children for good. If there's a forsaking, it's temporary. And if there's a forsaking, it's for disciplinary purposes. All right. So now, some will say to me, you know, Pastor Torres, Brother Michael, this is an Old Testament passage. Why are you teaching us from the Old Testament? And I would say, well, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, profitable, every scripture. But I will say to you that this Old Testament promise made here is indeed applicable to us. And you'll say, but wait a minute. Didn't God make the promise specifically to Joshua? And I would say that is correct. But again, it's applicable to us. And I will prove it to you by taking you to the book of Hebrews. Now notice, the book of Hebrews is an epistle written by an apostle to Hebrew Christians who know very well the history of the ancient Hebrew people, which happened to be their ancestors. So let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And in Hebrews 13, starting at verse 1, going all the way down to verse 6, we have a series of interesting exhortations given by the writer to his readers. The verses that I really want to focus on, even though we're going to start reading at verse 1, the verses that I really want to draw your attention to is verses 5 and 6, because they are, in essence, Joshua 1:5 being repeated in the New Testament. And if they're being repeated in the New Testament, they're being repeated for your benefit and my benefit. So let's go to Hebrews 13. We're going to start reading number 1, and we're going to work our way down to verse number 5 and 6, which are the key verses.
Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. The prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, bare, undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge.
Now, again, let's focus on verse 5 and 6. Now, when you read Joshua 1:5, you will notice that God begins by saying to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand against thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So notice, what comes first in Joshua 1:5 is that no man shall be able to come against thee all the days of thy life. What comes at the end is, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now here in Hebrews chapter 13, what comes first here in this passage is what came last in Joshua 1:5. So let's look at that.
Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you.
Now that comes at the end of Joshua 1:5. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Who says that? God. And he's saying that to us now in the New Testament. Now notice, what came first in Joshua 1:5 is now recorded here in Hebrews 13:6 last.
So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Amen. That's what Caleb said. Caleb said, listen, give me Hebron. Give me this mountain. I know it's infested with giants. I know that they're well fortified, but if the Lord be with me, I shall be able to drive them out. And so here it says, so that we may boldly say, like Caleb, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man, however big in stature they may be, however politically connected they may be, no matter how economically powerful they may be, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So notice the promise, the lifelong promise, the lifelong warranty that God will never leave you nor forsake you, that no man will be able to stand in your way, that as God was with past generations of Christians, so shall he be with you, stands today because it's recorded right here in Hebrews. It's right there in the text. It's for you today, and it's for me. So, before we go, I want to take you back to Joshua chapter 1. Let's go to Joshua 1, because I want to see how that section ends with Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And this section ends with a promise in verse 9. Now, we didn't cover verse 9 in this series, but I just want to leave you with verse 9. And it says in Joshua 1, 9, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Now, here it is. This is what you need to take with you today as we close this series. For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever you go. Wheresoever you go, know that as God was with Moses, and as God was with Joshua, and as God was with Caleb, and as God is with you today, know that wheresoever you go, wherever God would take you, wherever God will send you, wherever God has placed you, wherever God has planted you, know that wheresoever you go, you don't go alone. His lifetime warranty is that he will be there with you. Wheresoever you go, know, Lord thy God goeth with thee. May God bless you and keep you. We'll be starting a new series in just a few days. You'll be getting an email with an outline. I hope and pray that you tune in because the next series is glorious. May God keep you. May God bless you. May God watch over you and work as hard as you can for the Lord, for he goeth with you.
And time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.